Hello, welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Baya. Wombats and Music comes to you on Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1. And this is a special Saturday show because last Monday's show had a few goofs in it, so I'm cleaning it up a little bit. So this is for those of you listening on, it will be played for the first time on Saturday, October, 8th. And so you're hearing a new show. And I'm going to start right off by telling you it's fundraising week at Emory and Henry. And if you'd like to make a contribution, we'd really appreciate that. And you can do so by going to our website, wehcfm.com, and finding the button for donating, make a gift. And we'd really appreciate it. We're going to need a lot of money this year to survive. And if we don't get enough money, we won't survive. So please help. And if you can get your employer to contribute, also that would help. And if you're an alumni and want to put a little pressure on the administration to give more support to Emory and Henry, that's good too. They're doing the best they can, but I don't think they realize how important this station is to Emory and Henry. And I do. I think it's an important part of our community identity. And we want to get all the support we can from wherever we can get it. So please help. The first song I'm going to play is City of New Orleans by Willie Nelson. City of New Orleans is a great song, one that I've sung many times, a great song to sing in a group, and there are many great recordings of it. This particular one by Willie Nelson is probably my favorite, and so here we go, Willie Nelson and City of New Orleans.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rail. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors and 25 sacks on mail. All along the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out at Kankakee and rolls along past houses, farms, and fields. Graveyards full of old black men and the graveyards of a rusted automobile. Good morning, America, how are you? Say, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm the rain they call the city of New Orleans, and I'll be gone bag that holds the bottle. Feel the wheels rumble beneath the floor, and the songs of Pullman porters and the sons of engineers ride their father's magic carpet made of steel. Mothers with their babes asleep, rocking Cars in Memphis, Tennessee. train has got the disappearing railroad blues.
City of New Orleans, sung by Willie Nelson. Well, the next song is And When I Die by Blood, Sweat, and Tears. This song was originally written by Laura Nyro when she was 17. She sold it to Peter, Paul, and Mary for $5,000, and they recorded it. And the following year, 1969, Blood, Sweat, and Tears recorded it. So this is, and that became the biggest hit version of the song. This is Blood, Sweat, and Tears singing And When I Die.
Satan, don't want to die uneasy, just let me go naturally, and when I die, and when I'm dead, dead and gone.
in a world to carry on, to carry on, yeah, yeah.
That was And When I Die by Blood, Sweat, and Tears. The next thing I want to tell you about is the next song, which is Johnny Buckler by Reese Jones and Christina Wheeler. I was at a camp for a week, and they were the fiddle teachers there and part of the performing staff. They are both master fiddlers. I mean, the very top of the game. Christina apparently is a classical fiddler as well as this kind of music. And Reese, together, they do a lot of what's called twin fiddling and fiddle duets and voice duets. I am a fiddler. I'm a beginning fiddler. I'll always be a beginning fiddler. But I loved hearing them play. And together, they're just a whole trip. And now you get to share. So here is Reese Jones and Christina Wheeler, their husband and wife, playing fiddle together on a song called Johnny Buckler.
Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. I drew him up to the foot of the hill and I hollered with the mule and the mule stood still. What Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. I put my shoulder against the wheel and back in the mud I stuck my heel. What Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. I put my shoulder against the cart and hollered at the mule, but the mule would start. What Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. Blacksmith shop and I hollered at the mule and the mule did stop. And what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, do, and what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. I asked that fellow to mend my yoke and he hopped to the bellows and pulled up smoke. And what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, do, and what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. He fixed my yoke and he mend my ring and he never charged me everything. And what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, do, and what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. And I said, young man, your mules don't die. And what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, 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 and what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. Well, if he dies, I'll tan his skin. And if he lives, I'll ride it again. And what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, 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 and what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. And he walked on his head for to save his feet. What Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, 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 what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. I had an old mule and his name was Bill, and I worked him in the heart of it, died on the hill. And what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, 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 what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. I rode him to the river, but I couldn't get him in. Hit him in the head with a buckeye limb. And what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, 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 what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do. I rode him to the river, but I couldn't get across. Hopped on the bullfrog, thought it was a horse. And what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do, 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 what Johnny Buckler wouldn't do.
That was Reese Jones and Christina Wheeler playing Johnny Buckler on twin fiddles. Well, I'm gonna give you the wombat. This is, I'm going to read from a book, and I will try very hard not to talk too much about the book before I start reading. The book I'm reading from is by Stephen Vincent Benet. It's called John Brown's Body, and it was published back in the 1930s. And Stephen Vincent Benet actually is from the same community in Florida that I'm from. My family is from the what's called the Menorcan community in St. Augustine. The Menorcan community in St. Augustine consisted of the survivors of a group that went to New Smyrna Beach in Florida to raise indigo, and the colony collapsed, and they walked to St. Augustine, and there they lived for generations. And my family, the Baez, and Stephen Vincent Benet's family were part of the same community. I don't think we intermarried, but we had probably common cousins of people who did intermarry. Anyway, that's the community he was from, and he wrote this book. It's about the Civil War, and there are really four stories in it. There's the story of the South, a huge plantation in the South. There's a story of a North, a Northern soldier whose family loved him and he went off to war. There's the story of John Brown, the proud man who kind of was the first incident of the Civil War. John Brown, you can look up in history. And then there's also just the story of the hiders, the people who chose not to go to war. So each one of them has their own kind of section. I'm going to read you from the Southern Plantations section, and I want to talk about it just a little bit more. A lot of people, well, I shouldn't say that. Some people, including people I know, think that the whole Civil War was fought based on mean, racist bigots fighting to protect a horrible institution. Well, it was a horrible institution, and it has damaged our society then and continues to damage our society. Some parts it more than others. So anyone who wants to defend slavery, you got the wrong person to talk to me. But the Southerners at that point were not all mean, hateful people, any more than the Romans back when there was slavery there were all mean, hateful people. Some of them were, and there was abuse, and no one should apologize for that. But there was also a community and a history, and this is from that community. John Brown's body captures part of the nostalgia, the poignancy of what it was like to be part of a great society of strong, good people who were defeated and forced into a very difficult situation. So this is before the war starts. I'm going to read to you from a party that was held at Wingate Hall, which is the one of the old plantations in Georgia, so the story goes, in this fictional story. And the two main characters are the person telling this particular part is Cujo, who is the head black butler in the house, kind of the head of all the Negroes on the plantation, I think. And he's talking about two people, Clay Wingate, which is the young son of the house who's about to go off to war, and Sally Dupre, who is a beautiful young lady from a nearby plantation who had, unfortunately, her mother had fallen in love with somebody, an outsider, and she was born and not really accepted by the local people, but that didn't matter to her. She was an independent spirit. So this is the person, Cujo, telling the story, and I'm going to read to you. This is my wombat for the night. And I'll be reading you more from this book in future weeks. Cujo the Negro watched from the pantry the smooth glissades of the dancing gentry. They're at a party, by the way. His splay feet tapping to the time to the tune, while his broad face beamed like a drunken moon at candles weeping in crystal sconces, wax floors glowing like polished bronzes, sparkles glinting on royal Worcester, and all the stir and color and luster, where Miss Louisa and Miss Amanda, proud dolls scissored from silver paper, with hoop skirts wide as the front veranda, and the gypsy eyes of caged frivolity, pointed their toes in the satin caper to the nonchalant glory of the quality. And there were the gentlemen, one and all, friends and neighbors of Wingate Hall. Cujo watched and measured and knew them, seeing behind and around and through them, with the shrewd, dispassionate, smiling eye of the old-time servant in days gone by. He couldn't read and he couldn't write, but he knew quality, black or white, and even his master could not find the secret place in the back of his mind where witch-bones talked to a scarlet rag and a child's voice spoke from a conjure bag. For he belonged to the hidden nation, the mute, enormous confederation of the planted earth and the bourdon-born, and the horse that has ridden and given corn. The wind from the briar patch brought him news that never went walking in white man's shoes, and the grapevine whispered its message faster than a horse could gallop across a grave, till long ere the letter could tell the master, the doomsday rabbits had told the slave. He was faithful as bread or salt, a flawless servant without a fault. Major Domo of Wingate Hall, proud of his white folk, proud of it all. They might scold him, and they might let him scold them, and he might know things that he never told them. But there was a bond, and the bond would hold on either side until both were cold. So he didn't judge, though he knew, how the yellow babies down by the slough had a fourth of their blood from old Judge Brooke, and where Sue Crowell got her Wingate look. and the whole mad business of Shepley's wager, and why Miss Harriet married the major. And he could trace with unerring ease 100 devious pedigrees of man and horse, from the squire's rapscallion back to the stock of the Arab stallion, and the Bristol line through its baffling dozens of a doubly removed half-second cousins, and found a creed and a whole theology on the accidents of human geology. He looked for Clay in the dancing world. There he was, coming down the line, hand in hand with a dark, slim girl, whose dress was the color of light in wine, Sally Dupre from Appleton, where the black shawl ladies rock in the sun, and the young things labor and the old things rule, a proud girl taught in a humbling school, the only daughters of misalliance, taught in a humbling school that only daughters of misalliance must harden their hearts against defiance. Of all the uncles and all the aunts who succor such offspring of mischance and wash them clean from each sinful intention with a kindless sort of incomprehension. She had the Appleton mouth, it seemed, and the Appleton way of writing. But when she sorrowed and if she dreamed, something came out from hiding. She could sew all day on an Appleton hymn and look like a saint in plaster. But when the fiddles began to play and her feet beat fast but her heart beat faster, an alien grace inhabited in them and she looked like her father, the dancing master, the scapegrace elegant French Dupre, come to the South on a luckless day with a bright paste buckle sewn on his pumps, a habit of holding the ace of trumps, and a manner of kissing a lady's hand which the country failed to understand. He stole Sue Appleton's heart away with eyes that were neither black nor gray, and broke the heart of the brook's best mare to marry her safely with time to spare. While the horsewhip uncles toiled behind, he knew his need and she knew her mind, and the love they had was as bright and brief as the dance of the gilded maple leaf, till she died in Charleston of childbed fever before her looks or her heart could leave her. It took the flavor out of his drinking and left him thoughts he didn't like thinking. So he wrapped his child in the dead girl's shawl and sent her politely to Uncle Paul with a black-edged note full of grief and scruples and half the money he owed his pupils. Saw that Sue had the finest hearse that IOUs could possibly drape her, and elegized her in vile French verse, while his hot tears spotted the borrowed paper. And slander is sinful and gossip wrong, but country memories are long. The Appleton clan is a worthy clan, but we remember the dancing man. The girl is pretty, the girl seems wise. The girl was born with her father's eyes. She will play with our daughters and know our sons. We cannot offend the Appletons. Bristol's and Wingate's, Shepley's and Crowell's, we wouldn't hurt her to save our souls. But after all, and nevertheless, for one has to think, and one must confess, and one should admit, but one never knows, so it has gone, and so it goes, though the sun and the wind and the rainy weather, whenever ladies are gathered together, till little by little and stitch by stitch, the girl is put in her proper niche. With all the virtues that we can draw for someone else's daughter-in-law, a girl to be kind to, a girl we're lucky in, a girl to marry some nice Kentuckian, some Alabamian, some Carolinian. In fact, if you ask me for my opinion, there are lots of boys in the northern sections, and some of them have quite good connections. She looks charming this evening, doesn't she? If she danced just a little bit dashingly. Cujo watched as she went by. She's got a light foot, thought Cujo. Hi. A light, swift foot and a talking eye. But you'll need more than that, Miss Sally Dupre, before you proposes with young Master Clay. And as soon as the fiddle finished lewin, day 16 things I ought to be doing. The major sure to be wanting his dram. We'll have to be cutting the second ham, and that trashy high yellow Parker's guinea was saying some Yankee named old John Brown has raised a devil back in Virginny and freed the niggers all over town. He's friends with the Hants and steel won't touch him, but the patrollers is sure to catch him. How come he want to kick up a dizziness? Nigger business ain't white folks' business. Well, that's enough. This is John Brown's Body, published in the 1930s. And it goes on in that regard. And, of course, the war progresses, and Clay Wingate goes off to war and is defeated. And I'll tell you more of the story as time goes by. I find it wonderfully nostalgic and powerful. And you do get to hear the other side. You get to hear the people who are upset and opposed to all of this old the old plantations in their way, and the fighters from the north, and the people who are hiding out in the woods to avoid. It's kind of a combination of Gone with the Wind and Cold Mountain and a lot more. Well, the next song I'm going to play is, I like songs and things like I just read that tell stories. And this one tells another story from a southern area, a different era in time, a different class of people, but still a powerful statement. It's called Wolverton Mountain.
They say don't go on Wolverton Mountain if you're looking for a wife. 'Cause Clifton Clowers has a pretty young daughter. He's mighty handy with a gun and a knife. Her tender lips are sweeter than honey, and Wolverton Mountain protects her there. The bears and the birds tell Clifton Clowers if a stranger should enter there. All of my dreams are on Wolverton Mountain. I want his daughter for my wife. I'll take my chances and climb that mountain. Though Clifton Clowers, he might take my life. Her tender lips are sweeter than honey, and Wolverton Mountain protects her there. The bears and the birds tell Clifton Clowers if a stranger should wander there. Well, I'm going up on Wolverton Mountain. It's too lonesome down here below. It's just not right to hide his daughter from the one who loves her so. Her tender lips are sweeter than honey, and Wolverton Mountain protects her there. The bears and the birds tell Clifton Clowers if a stranger should wander there. But I don't care about Clifton Clowers. I'm gonna climb up on his mountain. I'm gonna take the girl I love. I don't care about Clifton Clowers. I'm gonna climb up on that mountain, and I'll get the one I love. I don't care about Clifton Clowers. I'm gonna climb up on that mountain.
That was Wolverton Mountain by Claude King. You're listening to Wombats and Music, and I'm your host, Harry Baya. We come to you Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1. If you'd like to make a pledge to WEHC, you can do it online by going to WEHCFM.com and finding the button that says Make a Gift. Wombats and Music is my chance to play for you things I love, songs, and do an occasional reading like tonight's reading from John Brown's Body by Stephen Vincent Benet. Well, we're going on with the show now, and the next song up is Second Chance, and I often talk about my songs. There's leavers and leavies in relationships, and here's a guy who's a leavie. He got left. He got left, but he has not given up. He is still asking for a second chance. That was Second Chance by 38 Special. A lot of the songs I play on the show are about relationships. Oddly enough, the playlist tonight, of the 12 songs I have, I won't be playing them all, but only about three or four are about relationships. The others, for example, City of New Orleans, When I Die, Johnny Buckler, those aren't about relationships. so they're not all. And then again, I also want to mention a lot of songs are by leavees, people who've been left. Every now and then you'll get a leaver, but not so much. Back in the 50s, a lot of songs were about, well, there still are a lot too, the beginning of romance, when people are falling in love or in love. And here's one by Tony Bennett. It's called Stranger in Paradise, and it's in the middle. It's not someone who's been left, and he's a stranger in paradise. He's fallen in love, and it's all new and wonderful. And when I heard this song back when I was young, I identified and thought, oh, that must be great.
Take my hand, I'm a stranger in paradise, all lost in a wonderland, a stranger in paradise. If I stand starry-eyed, that's a danger in paradise for mortals who stand beside an angel like you. I saw your face and I ascended out of the commonplace into the rare somewhere. I hang suspended until I know there's a chance that you care. Won't you answer this fervent prayer of a stranger in paradise? Don't send me in dark despair from all that I hunger for, but open your angel's arms to the stranger in paradise and tell him that he need be a stranger no
Stranger in Paradise by Tony Bennett. That's the good side of relationships. Now let's look at the other side. I get to philosophize a bit. Sometimes we experience emotional pain. The most common one, I think, is when you've been left, when a divorce or something, and you're on the wrong side. And that's a very common, but there are lots of other places where emotional pain occurs, and I won't even have to list them. You can think for yourself how many places in life where people really, really get hurt. They get banged. In football, I was always amused when some player would be knocked down and not get up. The announcer would say, he got popped. Popped as if it were something little. The guy had been probably hit by somebody weighing 380 pounds and knocked cold and possibly broken ribs and who knows what, and he got popped. Well, emotionally, that can happen too. People get popped. And this is a song about how do you how do you get over it? And one of the points that is made, I think, by the song, and I believe, rarely is it good to avoid the pain. In other words, you could probably get a doctor to give you medication where you wouldn't feel the emotions. And sometimes you can push it in the back of your mind and pretend it didn't really happen or it doesn't matter. And there are ways of not experiencing the depth of the pain. And sometimes you have to do some of that. But in general, the name of this song tells the story. The cure for the pain is the pain. You just have to get through it. You have to have faith that it will get better. And so if you've ever been emotionally popped, you probably know what I'm talking about. And if you're in the middle of being, of having been popped right now, you can take this. So this is by Gretchen Peterson. And Gretchen Peterson, I think she does a wonderful job. And I love this song.
Damn this lump in my throat. Damn this hole in my coat. Damn this rain that just won't quit. Damn the sorry waste of it. Damn the truth and damn these lies. Damn that look behind your eyes. Damn this day and damn this night. Damn this losing. There ain't no train to take us back the way we came. Ain't no shelter from this hard rain. The cure for the pain is the cure for the pain is the pain. It's not like you think it's gonna be. Not like the movies that you see. Ain't no soaring violins. Just machines and medicine. So bless these pills and bless these sheets. Bless this food that you can't eat. Bless the damned who walk these halls. God have mercy on us all. 'Cause there ain't no drug that yeah. is the pain. The cure for the pain is the pain. The cure for the pain is the pain.
The Cure for the Pain is the Pain by Gretchen Peters. She's a Nashville singer, and she performed that song at the Barter Theater this spring, and I was there, and I loved it. I want to remind you that this is fundraising week at Emory & Henry, and if you'd like to make a pledge, you can go online at wehcfm.com and find the Make a Gift button and make a contribution. The next song is by Enrique Iglesias, and it's called Hero. I think it's one of the best songs of the last 30 years. I was at a live concert in New York when he performed this song, and he brought an audience member up and sang it to her, and she melted on the stage. And I think many of the women in the audience identified strongly with her. Enrique Iglesias has tremendous charisma, and this song is a very romantic song. It's called Hero. So here is Enrique Iglesias singing Hero.
Let me be your hero. Would you dance if I asked you to dance? Or would you run and never look back? Would you cry if you saw me crying? Would you save my soul tonight? Would you tremble if I touched your lips? Or would you laugh? Oh, please tell me this. Now would you die for the one you love? Hold me in your arms tonight. I can be your hero, baby. I can kiss away the pain. I will stand by you forever. You can take my breath away. Would you swear that you'll always be mine? Or would you lie? Would you run and hide? Am I in too deep? Have I lost my mind? I don't care, you're here tonight. I can be your hero, baby. Kiss away the pain. I will stand by you forever. You can take my breath away. My mind. Well, I don't care, you're here tonight. I can be your hero, baby. I can kiss away the pain. Oh, yeah. I will stand by you forever. Take my breath away.
Hero by Enrique Iglesias. Well, if you're listening to this show on Saturday, October 8th, I'll remind you that it's fundraising week at Emory Henry. If you'd like to make a contribution, please go online and do so at wehcfm.com, and you can find a button there for Make a Gift. We've got time for part of another song. I'm going to play Lying Eyes by the Eagles. I saw a Netflix documentary on the Eagles the other night, and I was really impressed. They were very sincere people. They did a good job. They also lived a wild life. But anyway, this is my favorite song by them and one of their biggest hits. I'll play part of the song and then start next week's show with the song. In the documentary, they said that the way the idea for writing the song came up, they were in a bar, and there was a number of attractive young women there and some older men. And just the idea that maybe some of these relationships between the older man and the younger women weren't as healthy as they could be, and that some of the girls might have lying eyes. And that's where the idea for the song came, and they went back and worked it out.
Every form of refuge has its price, and it breaks her heart to think her love is only given to a man with hands as cold as ice. So she tells him she must go out for the evening to comfort where she's going as she's leaving. She is headed for the cheating side of town. You can't hide your lying eyes, and your smile is a thin disguise. I thought by no way.
Lying Eyes by the Eagles, and I'll start next week's show with it. But now it's time to tell you good night and tell you what I want you to do this week, which is make a contribution if you can by going to WEHCFM.com. But also, equally important, I want you to join me in doing what I ask you to do every week. And that is, please join me in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.